You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
This is the William Hill Golf Podcast. Go to news.williamhill.com for all the podcasts or search William Hill Radio on iTunes.
Hello, one and all. A warm welcome along to the William Hill Golf Podcast. Good to have you with us. Dave Kellner, Dave Tindall, ready to dissect the golfing action this week. We've got two events. We've got the NBO Oman Open and the Genesis Open on the PGA Tour as well. It's good to be back in the studio. I've had a couple of weeks being absent from the podcast, and I think I'm back with a good week here with the Genesis Open, obviously the feature event, Mr. Tindall.
Yeah, you picked a good one to come back after just packing it in for 2 weeks. What were you doing?
A hiatus, a small hiatus. Other stuff, I think. I'm not sure other what stuff. Exactly, but other stuff.
Other stuff.
Nothing
other.
As important
no,
as this.
No, absolutely not.
Last week, Dave, I managed to watch quite a lot of the golf at Pebble Beach, and Ted Potter stared into the eyes of the world number one, Dustin Johnson, and never flinched for a second on that Sunday. It was an amazing performance, especially after bogeying the first hole, to come back like that and outplay Dustin Johnson. And when you bear in mind that Dustin Johnson had him off the tee by about 40 yards on every hole, it was one of the performances you look back on, I think, at the end of the season and think, wow, that was something quite special.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, he was a massive price, wasn't he? Ted Potter, I mean, remember him from a few years ago. Then he had a massive injury, didn't he? He was absent for a long time. I did read something where one of the players said you won't find a more talented player on tour. That's a bit much, isn't it? Given we're in the era of McIlroy, DJ, Spieth and et al. But clearly there's some talent in there. And Pebble Beach, it can throw up these surprise winners, can't it? And like you say, I was doing in play radio on Friday, and Dustin Johnson hit the front, and I said, I know he's 23-20.
This could be done now.
But that, to me, that's a good odds against Price, because from here. But you could argue now that's two tournaments in the last, what, four, where he's at the front and like a sort of way horse looking around, has lost his concentration a bit.
Yeah, I wouldn't read too much into it if you're thinking about backing him next time, though, because he'll have forgotten about this by now.
That's the good thing,
and
yes.
It is the good thing, because I think when analysing the event after the one in China, where he went on to win the Tournament of Champions, and people are saying, I wonder if there'll be any scar tissue from that performance, and he just brushed it aside and went on and won. So it wouldn't necessarily, we'll come on to the Genesis Open in due course, but it wouldn't necessarily put me off backing him if I fancied him this week.
I don't think it would put me off backing him in the next event, but maybe it would make me a bit wary of backing him in running if he's seemingly got hold of the tournament. It does offer value on some of the other players, I guess.
Yep, absolutely. Shall we get stuck into this week?
Yes.
Let's have a look at it. It's the NBO Oman Open. We'll use this as the hors d'oeuvre ahead of the main course. Alexander Levy is the 16-1 favourite for this event. Shuvnakar Sharma is 20-1. Andy Sullivan, 22-1. Joost Luiten is 22s. Thomas Detry, also 22-1. Jung-Yun Vang is in the betting. I'll do that again, I think. Yeah, he almost made him German then for a second. Jung-Yun Wang is 28-1. Alexander Bjork is 33-1. Mathieu Pavon is 33-1. Pablo Larrazabal, 33-1. And it's 40-1 and bigger the remainder. We've got a brand new event on the European Tour this week, with Oman hosting a main tour event, a European Tour event for the first time. That will make it number 44 on the list of different countries to host a European Tour tournament. And there is a little bit of course form to look at ahead of this one, though, Dave.
Yes, it's staged five editions of well, some of them were the grand final, other were a regular tour event on the Challenge Tour. So we've got 5 years of good form, and then lots of players in this field obviously graduated from the Challenge Tour. So, yeah, there is some useful form. Some of it, I mean, it was 2013 to 2017, but maybe you need to be careful about putting too much emphasis on it. I don't know.
Is that because of the quality or the lack of quality on the Challenge Tour, or perceived quality on
possibly,
the Challenge Tour?
Yeah, it's just, I don't know, playing for the prize of a European Tour winning an exemption obviously is more pressure this week.
I suppose so, but you're talking about the last three seasons have been the culmination of the Road to Oman, so there's obviously a lot of pressure on that because you're thinking about possibly getting your tour card for the European Tour, and that might be seen as more pressure-packed than winning a European Tour event to some, I suppose.
Yeah, but then you could also argue it's a different time of year. Maybe they're in form, you know, latter end of the year. Maybe they're not in the same sort of form. But I think it helps build your case if you like somebody and they've got some form there.
Yeah, I do. So,
I'm saying it's a great thing.
There's a nice piece on the European Tour website describing the venue, which sits alongside the Indian Ocean. It first opened in 2012, the Al Muj Golf Club. It's a links-style coastal course with large greens, but fairways that are apparently difficult to find. And Matt Cooper, who's one of your good friends and writes for Roto World Golf, he's talked in his piece about it looking like a links course, but not necessarily playing like one.
Yeah, I think he went to cover it one year, so he's spoken to a couple of the players of that. So yeah, I think maybe you think Oman, right? Desert. I mean, desert form does come into it, but maybe there's a few more nuances as well.
Yeah. I've just got one pick for the event. I think we should mention the wind as well. It's not forecast to be a significant factor this week, but given it is a coastal venue, that could kick up at any time, and we could have massive differences in what we expect in scoring if the wind does pick up.
Yeah, I've got one pick as well, but on the train journey, any seems to have been cut.
Okay.
But I've gone too far now, so I can't stop.
Okay, I'm taking one as well, so I'll let you lead off then.
Okay, I'm going to go with Alexander Bjork.
I fancied him as well.
But he's not your pick.
No, he's not my pick. But I did have a close look at him. 33-1, isn't he now?
Yeah, he's someone I've got down as he will win this year.
Yeah.
So you're kind of thinking you just need a week maybe where it's a bit of a lesser field, maybe you can come in. I mean, he's a bit hit and miss at the minute, but the hits are very good hits. And as we are sixth places, he would have landed two of these. So Hong Kong Open, runner-up.
Yeah.
Good chance to win that. A couple of missed cuts, Mauritius and Abu Dhabi, but you think, oh, that's a bit of a worry that he missed a cut in Abu Dhabi. Six in the Dubai Desert Classic. Really, really good effort there from him. 65, 68, 70, 69, four excellent, solid rounds there. Didn't make the cut in the Maybank, but that's kind of a different form of golf, so I'll forget him about that. So I think someone I've got down as winner waiting to happen, and then as we said, he's got the bonus of this course form, played it three times and got better on every occasion. 53rd, 24th in 2015, 7th in the grand final in 2016, shot a second round 63, which caught my eye as, wow, we can go low on this course. Just a really, really good player. This is his second season, really good rookie campaign, and as I said, I'm expecting him to win, and this just looked like a fair chance. Obviously he was 40s and I was quite happy with that. 33s is a bit
a little bit tight,
but it could still be a decent price come Sunday.
I think he's one of those that if you're picking out like future stars and in terms of class, could be better than the majority of the field. He's one of them, isn't he?
Yeah, a lot of those players are kind of exposed, I guess, and you kind of know what you're going to get from a lot of them, but he could really kick on and in a big way.
I'm going with a Swede as well.
All right.
Marcus Kinnelt is my pick. Better just check.
This is going to be a Swedish week, Dave.
I better check his Swedish. He's Swedish, not Finnish, isn't he? I'm questioning myself now.
He's Swedish, isn't he?
Yeah, he's Swedish, yeah. I just thought he might be Finnish for a second. Yeah, Marcus Kinnelt is my selection.
Didn't he first sort of take her eye in a Swedish, called the Swedish Open, is it?
No,
Scandinavian.
No, Nordea Masters.
Nordea Masters.
Nordea Masters, yeah. In 2015, he was actually
an amateur then.
Amateur, and I think he led at the halfway point in that event before faltering over the weekend, finished mid-30s, I think, in that event in 2015. But that signalled him being down as maybe a star of the future, Marcus Kinnelt. And he claimed his tour card on the Challenge Tour last season when finishing fifth in the Road to Oman, which culminated in a fast finishing second at this venue.
Yep.
So he's got the course form. So hopefully his familiarity with the conditions will prove advantageous this week. And he's just a major talent, isn't he? Anyone that you speak to that knows golf inside and out says this guy is a future star, Marcus Kinnelt. And he played very well over the weekend on his latest start in the BMW South African Open. Actually finished an under-the-radar 12th in that event. And I thought 66-1, he was worth chancing. I'm definitely going with youth over experience with that pick. But 66-1, I think, is more than fair on Marcus Kinnult. So I'm going with him.
Yeah, I think I prefer him to my bet, to be honest. Double the price. But,
yeah.
I guess at this stage, Bjork's done more.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
So he
definitely
deserves the
yeah,
price.
He's got more European tour form in the book. I just think Marcus Kinnult could be a serious player.
Yeah, definitely a good H-way price.
Yeah. So those are the two bets. Who else do you want to mention?
Alexander Levy, obviously, is the favourite. Played really well in the desert recently. Trying to, obviously, book his place on the European Ryder Cup team as it's in Paris as a Frenchman.
Mm-hmm.
Andy Sullivan, you always have down as a good desert player. Loads of good form in Dubai. We'll have to see. It's his first try at the course, so it's a little bit of a guess. Yunhong Wang.
I was going to...
That's his good, yeah. the German.
I actually think at the top of the betting, he's the one that I'd go with, Wang. Even though he's from Germany. He's played very well in a couple of events on the desert swing this season already, hasn't he, of course? And his win came in Mauritius, which reads very well in the context of this event in Oman. So I think Wang has to be respected this week at 28-1.
Well, he's a three-time European Tour winner, isn't he? You can't say that about many of these. So, yeah, it could go well. And he defends in Qatar, doesn't he, obviously, next week.
And if you're looking for one, I suppose, one of the most informed players in this field, Jorge Campillo.
Yeah,
would be the man, wouldn't
he?
40-1 is not a bad price on the guy that comes into this in the best form, and it's a weak event. So 40-1, still looking for his maiden tour title, which I suppose is a negative.
Yeah,
but I think 40s is fine for Campillo.
Could be, yeah. You kind of, I did look at him, and then I sort of looked through his career. I can't find any win of any kind at all.
Mm.
So unless he won a sort of pitch and putt somewhere, but. Then I always think, come on, he must have had some sort of win.
Yeah,
I couldn't see one. But he's plugged away on the European Tour for longer than you think, hasn't he? And he's getting closer, I guess. Someone who maybe needs a few goes at it before he gets over the line.
I suppose if you're thinking about an event that he might be likely to break through in, though, it would be an event like this one, wouldn't it? You'd suggest anyway.
Yeah, and 40s is okay.
Should we move on to Genesis?
Yes, let's do that.
Let's do it. Dustin Johnson is the 5-1 favourite for the Genesis Open here with William Hill. Jordan Spieth is 12-1. Rory McIlroy, 12-1. Justin Thomas is 16s. Phil Mickelson, 22-1. Paul Casey is 25s. Tommy Fleetwood, 28-1. Chez Reavie is 33-1. 40-1. Alex Noren, Brandon Grace, Brendan Steele, Daniel Berger, Mark Leishman, Olli Schneiderjans, Thomas Peters, and Tiger Woods, and it's 50-1 and bigger the remainder. And the tour remains in California for the final event of the West Coast Swing, and this is almost as good as it gets outside of the major championships. Riviera Country Club has hosted this event for pretty much a century now, and it is widely regarded as the standard bearer of PGA Tour courses. The players speak glowingly about the venue. Very few have negative words to say about this course in the Pacific Palisades, and as is often the case, Dave, it's attracted a stellar field.
Absolutely, yeah. Tiger Woods, is it something like the only one he's never won, isn't it?
Yeah,
that he's played more than twice or something.
Even in his pomp,
could
never get it done at Riviera. So 40-1. We'll come on to Tiger in due course and have a quick word about him maybe at the end. I suppose you're not going for Tiger Woods. I take it you're not going for Tiger Woods.
Absolutely not. No.
Absolutely not, 40-1. Talk to me about Riviera and what you think makes it so special, Dave.
Yeah, it's just sort of it's a classic old school shot makers course. Whether you have to hit fairways is a bit open to debate. Some say you do. I've seen Bubba say there's not that many trees, so he can play kind of under them and round them like he does at Augusta.
Yeah.
And it does correlate well, actually, Augusta form and form. He's got people like Mickelson, multiple winner at both.
Mm.
Obviously, Tiger doesn't support that link, but there's plenty of good form. Often you do get good, very, very good players winning it, don't you? Dustin Johnson, obviously, has taken a title at Bubba a couple of times. But it is, I think, mostly a shot maker's course. Poana Greens, again, Which California we saw at Pebble last time, so that can be a bit tricky. But I think they're sort of better Poana greens,
yeah,
a bit more inland. So I think someone like Spieth might find them a bit more conducive to his putting stroke, although I'm still not convinced about him at the minute.
He's 12 to 1.
Don't tell me you're going to back him.
No, I'm not. I'm not going for Jordan Spieth at 12 to 1. I was kind of tempted, but no, not this week.
Yeah.
And I think it's important to note that Kikuyu grass on the fairways and rough as well, because that's not something you often associate with golf courses in America. It's more a South African thing,
yes.
Kikuyu. And I think the... Just to go back to your point about hitting or missing fairways, these fairways are notoriously difficult to hit,
yeah,
in terms of the PGA Tour standard. But the tree line is often quite a way away from the middle of the fairway as well. So you can sometimes pick a lie in Kikuyu, and if you get that lie, you can still attack. So I think that's a factor when you're talking about hitting or missing fairways.
Yeah, as you say, South Africans have got a good record there. Ernie Els has won there. I think Rory Sabatini won there. Schwartzel did really well there on his first start. I think the South Koreans like playing off Kikuyu grass as well.
Yeah.
KJ Choi's got a ridiculous record there. Even recently was fifth a couple of years ago. Mm. So there are a few angles in, and as you say, Kikuyu can catch a few out. So it's quite an unusual mix, really. But also, an absolute doddle of an opening hole. People say it's the worst course hole on the course, and a really tough closing hole, which I quite like, because a four is on the Sunday night is absolutely worth its weight in gold, isn't it, on that par four?
We've seen some
par four closer.
Yeah, we've seen some unbelievable finishes over the years at Riviera where championships have been thrown
absolutely
away on that par 418.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think that's a fantastic finishing hole.
It's one of those ones.
I do think the opening hole is just
there you go. Just get going.
Yeah, just have a birdie basically.
Yeah, or an eagle.
I think it played to a par of 4.2. Or an average of 4.2. Yeah. When you're talking about a par four on a par five on the PGA Tour, that is just ludicrous, isn't it? Basically,
Martin Laird eagled it twice last year, so it is a doddle. But yeah, I do like the fact that someone on Sunday could get in post a score, and that could hold up.
Yeah,
that's an interesting way as well for in running.
I've got two picks.
Me too.
Okay, shall I lead off here?
Yeah, you go.
You talked about the link with Augusta. I've read a lot of pieces about this tournament and a lot of people coming up with that link with Augusta.
Yeah.
I think it's worth exploring anyway, the link to Glen Abbey, host of the Canadian Open, three of the last 4 years. That's a course with very tough fairways to hit, generally plays into the hands of the big hitter as well, like Riviera does on occasion, and a course on which short hitters can compete if they're at the top of their game as well. There's a lot of driver holes at Glen Abbey, very similar to what you'll see at Riviera. Smaller greens than standard at Glen Abbey. Same applies to Riviera as well. And you look at some of those leaderboards from three of the last 4 years, and the same names pop up as well. Dustin Johnson has easily the best recent form at Riviera. He's finished second in two of the last four Canadian Opens. I know that Dustin Johnson is just a very good golfer,
yeah,
and he can compete anywhere. Bubba Watson's won two of the last four of these. He was runner-up behind Jason Day at Glen Abbey in 2015. And away from the golfers that you'd maybe call elite golfers, William McGirt, interestingly, who's got very solid form figures at Riviera, finished runner-up at Glen Abbey in 2013. I think that's quite an interesting angle for people to explore anyway,
yeah,
because even though the courses don't look similar, you need the same sort of tools to succeed at both venues. And that brings me to Johnny Vegas.
Right, yeah, who won in Canada twice, isn't it?
He did, both of those wins at Glen Abbey. And I think he's a very attractive price at 100 to 1, Johnny Vegas. I think it's way too big. He was all the rage at 50/66 to 1 at the Farmers Insurance on the back of a tie for 7th at the Tournament of Champions and that 11th at the Career Builder Challenge. But because he missed the cut there, he's drifted to a much more palatable price this week at 100 to 1 in a slightly stronger field, admittedly. He finished 12th on his debut at Riviera in 2012. Some low-key efforts here subsequently, but was 15th last year, and his long iron play, which is absolutely critical at Riviera, was superb on the hole last season. And if he's got one real weakness, it's around the greens, And this is one of the easiest courses to get up and down on tour. I mean, scrambling is pretty easy at Riviera if you compare it to a lot of other PGA Tour courses. So I'm very keen on him this week at 100-1, Johnny Vegas.
Very good.
Yep, so he's my first pick.
Yeah, on sort of similar lines, not in terms of the course link, but in terms of someone who was being touted heavily a few weeks ago and I think's just slipped back too far. He's kind of sprung back. Mark Leishman for me at 40s.
Okay.
And thankfully, we've actually pushed him out. I think we were 33s.
Oh, good. That's a bonus.
Yeah, so, you know, what we giveth with one hand and all that. So, yeah, Mark Leishman. Traditionally, I think Aussies have played well here. I remember Adam Scott winning runner-up as well. Even Aaron Badley's won here as well. Mm. Mark Leishman, again, he was being not... He wasn't being touted as one of, like, the big five or six, but he was certainly being put up as someone who's really advancing to a really, really high level. And what's he done wrong since, really? I mean, he starts off with 7th in the Tournament of Champions, 47th at the Sony, but still some good scores. Really good performance at Torrey Pines, 8th, again in California. And then 31st at the Phoenix with 269, 68, 71. I mean, he's playing consistently well all the time. And I just think because maybe he hasn't got the eye-catching Sunday back nine, you know, in contention him, he's drifted back. At this course, 5th a couple of years ago. 69 was his worst score there. Open with a 67 last year, just had a bad second day, but he's got another couple of top 20s at the course. Plenty of good form in California. So it's just, I just thought 40-1 on a really classy player. He could be 28 if he'd had a good week very, very recently, I think.
Yeah, I think he's got...
he does everything I think you need to do.
Yeah, I agree.
For this course.
I agree. Long iron play is superb, isn't it, Matt Leishman, which is, as I mentioned, crucial at Riviera. It's interesting that Adam Scott talks about the framing of the bunkers being very similar to the Sandbelt courses in Australia, and that's why he loved the venue so much.
Yeah, I think Adam Scott says this is his favourite course on tour, so
he's 66-1, Adam Scott.
Yeah, but he's playing awful, isn't he?
He's playing abysmally.
Yeah, not even like just off, he's miles away, isn't he?
Yeah, he did say, I think, publicly that last week was a pipe opener, to get him ready for this week,
right? Yeah,
and he was just trying a few things out. So, if you happen to think you might see a much improved performance, 66-1 for Adam Scott here, could look absolutely ridiculous on Sunday night, but. He's just not playing well enough to even consider, is he?
And the odds, I mean, look at Leishman was second in putting average in Phoenix. So with Adam Scott, he just absolutely crossing everything out that he might be okay-ish with the putter with Leishman. You're getting a proper putter allied to all his other skills.
Yeah.
So I think 40s is quite a pretty impressive price on Leishman.
Okay, I've got one 100-1 shot in the bag already. I'm going with another 100-1 shot here. Kyle Stanley.
Right.
Is my second selection. I think this one's more of a feel pick this week than Vegas. But I do think for a quality ball striker, the price is just too big. Last season on tour, ranked 7th in strokes gained off the tee, 13th on the approach. He's had 3 starts at Riviera, 24th on debut, followed by a missed cut in 2014, 39th last year, where he fired a 66 in one of those 4 rounds as well. So his form is by no means stellar around Riviera, but that's what's holding up the price at 100-1. I think if he had a top 10 finish, he'd be down at 66-1-ish. I think you can forget about Phoenix because his short game was just absolutely abysmal at Phoenix, which led to his missed cut. And his last round at the Farmers Insurance Open masks how well he played for the majority of the week at Torrey Pines. So kind of a little bit of hidden form there, I think. Prior to that, good 10th at the Sony Open. And I'm banking on his ball striking, something you mentioned at the top of the preview as being key to Riviera. He's one of the best on tour. And at 100-1, you can afford to take a chance.
Very good.
Yep.
Right, my second pick is another 40-1 chance. I've gone for the 40s, you've gone for the for the 100s. Alex Noren.
Oh, I was interested to see which one of them you're going for. I was like, playing it in my mind. Would it be Schneider, Jans, or perhaps Peters?
Yeah.
Going Noren?
You mentioned Matt Cooper earlier. We had a phone conversation the other week, well, maybe 3 or 4 weeks ago, where we were just throwing ideas around. Sounds like we have fun lives, doesn't it? We were talking about football and girls and all sorts, as well as golf statistics. But we were talking about the guys at the 15th club who do all the stats.
Yes.
And Matt was saying how far they drill down into stuff. And then we were talking about Alex Noren. He said, oh, Alex Noren's, they've got stats on him where on holes that are played left to right, he's sensational. And then I said, oh, right, well, why don't we back him then for a Riviera? Because that's known as a left to right course.
Very interesting.
So we thought, great. It'd be what, 66-80s? And then he kind of gave the game away a little bit, didn't he, by playing too well for comfort. I mean, you can obviously take that both ways, but he played great, didn't he, at Torrey Pines, got to that playoff,
yeah,
that long playoff, and arguably should have won it, but for JBM mucking about.
Yeah, that was have we talked about, I don't even know if we ever talked about that on the podcast.
Not with you, no.
That was,
you're still seething.
Oh, I'm still seething, yeah, about that, yeah. I'm seething more because he laid the ball up.
Yeah, all that, and then he does that.
I mean, at least have a smash at it if you're going, yeah, to take all that time.
Yeah.
And then he had the audacity to... He didn't even come out and apologise afterwards.
No.
Yeah, I thought that was ridiculous.
Anyway, let it go. So, yeah, excellent performance there. Backed it up with tied 21st in Phoenix. So we saw Noren kind of conquer Europe and be brilliant, and we were thinking, well, can he do it in the States? Well, the signs here that he absolutely can do it in the States. We're kind of fitting the pieces together here a little bit. He does hit this... Well, I'll read you the quote. It's the guy, he's Aaron Kelly at 15th Club, and what they do, they've got all these sort of numbers that they can run. So he was watching the commentary, and he heard one of the commentators say, Alex Noren had said, this is a left-to-right course, it really suits my eye. And then he went, all right, I can press my buttons, Alex Noren on courses on holes that are left-to-right, and he just came out. It was like, brilliant.
Wow.
So this is just such a good fit for him. I mean, it's his first go there, and there's a feeling that you might need a couple of runs at Riviera, but I remember I backed Schwartzel one year here, his first year here, because of the Kikuyu angle. And he was third, had a really big run in it. So I think he can go straight into it. And obviously, although the price has gone, the fact that he's come second at Torrey Pines.
In California.
Yeah, yeah. That's got to be a good... And the fact it wasn't a one-off. Tied 21st at Phoenix with a middle two round 68-65. He's really playing some great stuff. So I think he'll get to this course and go, wow, I love this. This is all left to right stuff. I can do that.
I'd rather back him at 40-1 than Tiger Woods.
Well, absolutely, yes.
I mean, we talked about it maybe not being a necessity to hit fairways around Riviera, but you've got to keep it on the planet, haven't you?
Yeah.
And
well, there was smoke and mirrors, wasn't it? How he...
Oh, his short game was...
Yeah.
Because everyone was panicking about his short game, weren't they, coming into this season?
Oh, he'll have the chipping yips, yeah, and all that. Anything but.
Oh, he was unbelievable. Yeah. And... how he finished 23rd, and he's finished 23rd at the far. I just couldn't believe that, yeah, at the end of the week, because he didn't see the middle of the trees. He was that far offline.
I suppose, as is maybe the case with Mickelson, I think the strategy with Woods now, go for him on the courses where he absolutely dominates, such as Torrey Pines, more so, what, the 8 wins there? So yeah, it's almost like he can play that in his sleep and get round somehow by hook or by crook. This obviously isn't a course that's one of his by any means. It's almost the last course that he's done well on, so not, you know, no way am I backing him.
It was a surprise 40s. To see him put it in his schedule, wasn't it, I think?
Yeah.
To many.
But I could see him doing all right at the Masters still, you know,
yeah,
because that's, you know, drive it anywhere,
yeah,
to some extent, and rely on short game, smaller field.
Mm.
I'd much rather back him at the Masters than for this.
Yeah, I agree. Of the others, just talk us through the chances of the market leaders. Dustin Johnson's, he's an obvious chance at 5-1.
Yeah, it could be the, you know, like you said, follow China with a big win next time, so he could do that similar pattern. Brilliant course form here. Spieth, as I said, I'm not convinced. He said he'd found something in his putter, but remains to be seen. He was still only 20th at Pebble Beach. He's still not on it. McIlroy has played here before, and he started well for the first three rounds, just went to bits a bit on the Sunday. But 12s, not quite for me.
Yeah, I mean, there's got to be some reservations with how he played at Pebble.
Yeah, to miss the, I know his putter was particularly off, wasn't it? I think that was the big weakness. I think he five put from the fringe.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, I expected him to have a big season, McIlroy. Yeah. But I must admit, I've got a few niggling doubts now.
Yeah, I'm not jumping to back him at all. Justin Thomas hasn't really got any course form here. Mickelson's the one who could go really well this week.
You'd think
we've ducked him a bit, haven't
yeah,
we?
Yeah, 22-1. You'd think yeah. that he's going to. We have ducked him out. You think he's going to be up there? He's one of those that you can definitely see finishing top 10 with ease, can't you, Mickelson?
Absolutely, yeah. Two-time winner at Riviera, so he could go well. I think Paul Casey's got another really, really good chance as well of being right in the pitch. It's just whether he can get over the line. He was close.
He should have won here, shouldn't he?
Yeah, he should have won here before. Lost to James Hahn, wasn't it? And DJ was in that playoff as well.
Yeah.
So those are two. Tommy Fleetwood's an interesting one. I absolutely have no idea how he'll play. He could miss the cut, he could finish top five, I don't know.
Yeah.
So I've no real strong opinion on him. Brandon Grace, is the South African angle, could go well at 40s.
Yeah, I must admit I liked Ollie Schneider-Jens and Thomas Peters to a certain extent. But yeah. I think Peters, that second place last year, he just came from the clouds.
It became a second place.
And that is more than factored into the price of Peters, I think, as well.
Yeah.
And he's got the college form, hasn't he?
That's right, yes.
It is college form,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah.
At Riviera, so 40-1, maybe a little bit on the short side.
A three-figure price, Martin Laird at 100s.
I nearly put him in.
Yeah, tied 11th, tied 8th, the last two knocks, and played well on his last start.
It's just one of those obvious ones, isn't it?
Yeah.
If you're just keeping it plain and simple.
Yeah, course form, current form.
Course form, current form, 100-1, yeah. Big price.
Yeah.
So, Martin
Sometimes
Laird.
It's, you know, that's the way to go, and that's how easy it can be, rather than trying to invent the wheel, just go for that.
Let's recap the selections then, Dave.
Starting in Europe?
Yeah, let's start in... Oh,
well, yes. On the European Tour.
Yep.
I will go a point each way on Alexander Bjork at 33-1.
I'm going to go for a point each way on Marcus Kinnelt at 66-1 and in the PGA event.
Yeah, at Riviera, two 40-1 shots, a point each way on each. Alex Noren and Mark Leishman.
And I'm going a point each way on each at 100-1. These two, Johnny Vegas and Kyle Stanley, are my two selections. Who's the player you don't want to win?
I would probably say Mickelson.
Okay, I'm going to go with Zhong Yun Wang as my player I don't want to win in Oman this
kind
week.
Of a German double on Wang and Keimer.
Thank you for your company, Mr. Tindall.
Thank you.
Thank you, everyone that's tuned in and listened. Do follow us on Twitter. I'll post that podcast out on Twitter every single week. So at D Kellner, at Dave Tindall Golf is Dave's Twitter handle. Check out all the betting with William Hill as well by going to sports.williamhill.com and clicking on golf. We will, of course, be betting play on these two events. And Dave, will you be in the InPlay Radio studio on Sunday night?
No.
Oh, you're not there this week?
No, it's like half-term holiday.
I think that's the first time I've plugged it as well. There will be coverage of this Genesis Open on Sunday evening on William Hill's InPlay Radio.
I'll send the guys on there a message.
Send them a tweet.
To say what I'll be going for on the Sunday night.
Very good. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in and listening. You can download this podcast at audioboom.com by typing in William Hill. It's also available at the usual podcast places. Enjoy it this week, and we will be back with a debrief and a look ahead to next week's events on Tuesday.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.